Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and staying safe on a very wet and windy Friday in Kent on January the 24th. We'll have more on the weather later on in the episode, plus the shop owner whose stock was destroyed in a blaze. And we look ahead to Gillingham's game this weekend. But first up, the family of a 20-year-old man from Sheppey who died following complications with his diabetes have described him as wonderful, kind, creative and loving. Well, Leon joins me now with more on this story. Incredibly sad, Leon. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, as you say, incredibly sad. Jake Chapman from Minster had said he wasn't feeling very well last Sunday before suffering a cardiac event. It's believed that was caused by something called diabetic ketoacidosis. That's when a lack of insulin causes harmful substances called ketones to build up in the blood. Jake passed away in hospital 2 days later.
And his family have been paying tribute.
That's right. Jake leaves behind four sisters and his mum. His older sister Lillian has described him as a brilliant young man. She's told us how Jake had been diagnosed with diabetes when he was just 10, but as he'd gotten older, he'd become better at handling it and was much more careful. She's also revealed how Jake loved to draw wonderful creations, dressing smartly and listening to really funky music.
And I understand the family were able to honour one of Jake's wishes.
Yes, they were able to donate his organs, and Lillian said even though he's gone, he's living on and saving lives. A GoFundMe has been set up to help raise money for Jake's funeral, which will take place in Bobbing on February 6th. People are being asked to dress colourfully, especially in purple.
Our thoughts are very much with Jake's family. Leon, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A convicted sex offender who was caught with indecent images of children has been jailed. Brian Gregory was found to have hidden storage devices, breaching a previous court order. The 76-year-old from Minster on Sheppey has been locked up for 4 years and will spend another four on licence. One of Britain's most dangerous inmates has been convicted of attacking prison officers at a Kent jail. Aklikar Rahman made his own plastic weapons to target staff at HMP Swaleside on Sheppey. The 38-year-old was already serving a life sentence for previous prison attacks after being locked up for drug offences in 2015. A paramedic who caused the death of his colleague in a crash in Tunbridge has avoided being struck off. Lucy has the details for the podcast.
Edward Riding was driving an ambulance that was responding to a 999 call in January 2022 when he mistook a lay-by on the A21 for a turn-off. Alice Clark, who'd only completed her training 2 months before, died at the scene. Riding, who's now 46, previously admitted driving without due care and attention and has now appeared before the Health and Care Professions Tribunal Service. They've imposed a 12-month suspension.
A woman in her 20s has died after being hit by a lorry on the M20. Emergency crews were called to the coastbound carriageway near Ashford yesterday afternoon. The motorway was closed for around 8 hours while police carried out investigation work. Now, a Dartford shop owner's spoken of his devastation after a lorry containing all of his stock went up in flames. Crews were called to the blaze near the Orchard shopping centre last Saturday night. Matt Fireman's told us about the moment he was told what had happened.
So on Saturday night, I'd left the shop, gone home, then I got a phone call from the security of the shopping centre to say basically that, Matt, your lorry's on fire. So then I drove straight down, and obviously when I arrived there was fire engines, police, and the whole lorry was on fire. We've lost the whole lorry. Which the lorry's insured, thankfully, but everything inside the lorry wasn't insured, so we've lost obviously all the stock for the shop, all the contents, all the extra stuff that we need to go into the shop. So yeah, all the stock basically has been lost now. And as soon as the security said down the phone, your lorry's on fire, just the worst thoughts go through your mind, because obviously I knew what was on the lorry regarding all the stock, which comes to a lot of money. So I got it as quick as I can, and then obviously seen the worst. We've been in Dartford for 17 years with a shop Nice Price. So to get all the phone calls, all the messages, all the lovely customers coming into the shop, that's been really nice. And then all the suppliers who I buy the stuff from, they've all reached out to say, like, Matt, do you want any stock? It's been really nice, yeah. Loads of support.
Matt runs a Nice Price within the shopping centre and has lost £25,000 worth of products that, as you heard, weren't insured. Well, the fire is being investigated and a 39-year-old has been questioned.
Kent Online reports.
Sainsbury's has announced it's cutting more than 3,000 jobs. In-store cafes will also be closing at sites including Northfleet, Larkfield, Hempstead Valley and Westwood Cross as part of a major overhaul. Attempts to crack down on antisocial behaviour in Sittingbourne are being stepped up this weekend. A dispersal order will come into force at 3 this afternoon and run for 48 hours. It covers areas including the High Street, railway station and rec, and gives police more powers to move on groups of people and arrest anyone who returns. Police have seized nearly 3 kilos of cocaine and £20,000 in cash after stopping a car near Maidstone. A BMW driver was arrested on Tunbridge Road on Monday evening and officers searched a property in Westmorling. A 43-year-old has been charged and is due at Crown Court next month. Now, a weather warning for strong winds is in force across Kent as Storm Eowyn hits. Forecasters are predicting gusts of up to 70 miles per hour in coastal areas today. Well, Guy Addington is from the RNLI and is urging us to take extra care if we go to the seafront.
70 mile per hour winds are winds that are strong enough to hamper progress and perhaps knock weaker people from their feet, bring down trees, bring down branches, knock outside furniture around. So it's pretty significant weather. And of course, our principal concern is around people visiting the coast. We appreciate that there's few things in nature as awe-inspiring as a storm-driven sea. And we understand the urge of people to travel to the coastal areas and have a look at massive waves. But our advice is to avoid that, to stay well back from storm-driven sea and look at pictures on the internet and enjoy a storm from the comfort of your own home. Don't venture outside unless you absolutely have to.
I suppose it can be quite tempting to go and kind of see that firsthand. I mean, what are the kind of dangers for anyone who might be, you know, on the beach or on a promenade or something?
Winds of 60, 70, 80 miles per hour put a massive amount of energy into the water. Those waves really, really are powerful. And there's plenty of potential there to wash people off their feet, wash people off piers, wash people off promenades. Just a quick YouTube search will show you of lots and lots of examples of where people have been caught unaware by a wave or by some significant storm-driven sea and washed into the water. And we want to make sure that we do everything that we can to offer people advice so that that doesn't happen. Stay well back from the water's edge. Stay well back from cliff edges. Keep dogs on leads if you are venturing outside, and take the time to understand as much as you can about some of the hazards and risks associated with those coastal environments, and in particular what things like the weather and the tide might do to plans that you have when you're going out to the coast.
And how about those kind of activities that people might be doing in the sea? I mean, I know we're not in the middle of summer, but lots of people do like to get out and do open water swimming or kayaking and things like that. And it's Friday, so people might be thinking of if they've got a regular activity they do on a Friday. What would your advice be?
Our advice is, unless it's absolutely necessary, avoid going out to the coastal areas. We understand that it's always great to get a bit of fresh air, and there's few things in life as sort of awe-inspiring as going to see storm-driven sea. I understand the temptation for thrill-seeking and getting out and undertaking some of those sort of extreme water-based activities. But during a storm, you're putting yourselves at risk if you venture out onto the water and those that might have to come and sort out a problem. So our advice is to stay warm, stay safe and stay away from the edge of the water and away from the sea. As I say, unless you really have to. I think it's important to understand that people get into difficulty if they overestimate their capability or in particular underestimate some of the effect that storm, heavy weather, tides and general weather can have on a planned trip to the coast.
Guy was chatting there to Lucy. Red and amber alerts have been issued for other parts of the UK. Don't forget, you can get the very latest travel updates on the blog at Kent Online or by listening to our sister radio station at KMFM.
Kent Online reports.
There are calls for a new youth centre to be built on derelict land near Dover. The site in Aylsham used to house a leisure facility but has been vacant since the fire there almost 10 years ago. Now a consultation's underway to find out what residents want to happen. Councillor Jamie Pout represents the area and has been chatting to our reporter, Leanne Castle.
I understand that KCC are looking to dispose of this land, which I think in theory could be a positive. You know, this used to be a youth centre, so it'd be really good to have something back for the public that would be positive. local people, you know, you've seen on online, I assume, would love to have a youth centre back. You know, we get antisocial behaviour like many local places do. You know, if there's not a lot for young people, you know, to do in the evenings, at weekends, then that's somewhat inevitable, isn't it? So a youth centre here would be great. You know, or something else that the public could really get behind would be fantastic. I think what would be frustrating, I suppose, if KCC are looking just to sell this to the highest bidder to make a few quid, I think that would be highly frustrating.
That's pretty much exactly what neighbours have said to me today. They've said, you know, perhaps it's a good thing if it's going to get sorted out, something better to happen with it. However, what they don't want to see is more development.
It's an eyesore. So we'd love to see it dealt with. You know, our view, or my view, is that a roof over someone's head can be life-changing. So, you know, we can't immediately discredit, you know, housing as something that's bad or inherently bad. But a youth centre would obviously be brilliant. You know, something for kids would be brilliant. Something for the community would be brilliant. You know, I know the parish council are always looking to improve on what they've got. You know, why not get in touch with them, talk to them? You know, local groups, you know, the community trust is right next door. Why not engage with local people, talk to them about what they want? You know, there was a local plan process. I don't remember this coming forward as a site for KCC to look to dispose of it now. Doesn't fit into a wider plan for Elsham, and that's a little bit of a kick in the teeth.
The consultation closes on February the 20th. There are plans to build 500 homes at a former gasworks in Medway. The development at the old SGN depot near the Strand in Gillingham would include 7 apartment blocks and a supermarket. Seagar Sailing Club has raised concerns about the future of their clubhouse. The landlord of a pub near Whitstable has been hit with a nearly £30,000 bill from Sky Sports. Steve Prigg has cancelled his contract following the price hike that's more than doubled his total. He's criticised the broadcaster for targeting an industry already struggling with rising costs. Sky has been contacted for a comment. Now, we're being asked to count the number of birds we see in our gardens in Kent this weekend as part of the biggest survey of its kind. The Big Garden Bird Watch is organised by the RSPB so they can keep track of populations. Last year, 20,000 of us in the county took part. Luke Phillips is from the RSPB and he's been chatting to Leon.
So historically, how is Kent compared to other areas of the UK?
To be honest, around the UK, the numbers of birds don't tend to differ too much. We break down top tens for each county up and down the UK. And Kent, interestingly, there is one or two little subtle differences that we see in Kent compared to some other places. Oddly, the number 10 spot is collared dove in Kent, which isn't the case in the rest of the country. So, you know, clearly the collared dove is doing quite well in Kent. And, you know, we're all, it's a bit of a favourite of mine in the garden. Always get excited by a collared dove. Kent is a great place to watch birds. You know, being in the southeast of the country, you know, the weather can be quite different to, say, Scotland. And that means, you know, you get slightly different birds. So a bird for people to look out for in Kent, for instance, is a black cap. And a black cap is traditionally a spring kind of migrant that comes back to the UK and breeds here and then goes away for the winter. But increasingly, they're spending the winter here as well. And it's in the south and the southeast where they seem to be spending more of their time. Yeah, around 20,000 people took part in Kent, which is fantastic last year. So
is 20,000 kind of the average number of people you get per county? Is it quite a lot?
Actually, 20,000 is particularly good. There seems to be a real big uptake in Kent, which is really exciting. So, yeah, it must be a lot of bird watchers, a lot of keen people. And, you know, and that's the great thing about the Big Arm Bird Watch as well. It is really easy to do. It's just 1 hour over the 3 days, you know, really easy and fun. It's something for all the family. Loads of kids take part as well. And so it's not just us grown-ups who can enjoy it. You know, for me as well, it's a good excuse to, you know, get some biscuits in and have a few coffees and, you know, make the most of what could be quite a windy weekend.
Yes. So looking to the weekend, the weather isn't looking particularly great. Is that bad weather going to have an effect?
It could do. Weather does impact when birds feed in the garden. But it is really important to still do the Big Garden Bird Watch. I think it's, you know, some years when the weather is bad, some people think that, you know, because there aren't as many birds, it's not worth doing. But The thing is, because so many people take part right over the country, and it's been going on for, over 4 decades, those trends are really important. So year to year, the numbers are always going to just kind of vary slightly due to conditions, but it's those long-term trends that don't tend to be impacted.
And finally, a new indoor market with space for more than 250 traders could be created in Folkestone. There are plans to transform the old Wilko building in the town centre. Proposals have been put forward by Petticoat Lane Emporium, which runs Kent's biggest indoor market in Ramsgate.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and Gillingham will be looking to end a run of 5 games without a win this weekend. They're travelling to take on Tranmere Rovers in League Two. New manager John Coleman still looking for a first win in charge after a 1-0 defeat last time out. Midfielder Armani Little has been speaking ahead of the game.
I think it would be a quite high tempo game. I think a game where it would be a lot of second balls and a quite physical, so I think we'll have to match that with our energy and our work rate, and hopefully we can come on top.
What's the mood like in the camp? Obviously, we're not on a particularly great run, but what's the vibe like?
Yeah, I think that the run we're on, I think we have to, obviously after the game and stuff, it's going to be down, and after losing and not being on the greatest run as we are, I think we have to leave that now at the start of last week. So I think now we have to focus on Tranmere, be positive and go there and look to take the 3 points.
Should take a pretty good away following. I think we've taken the most away fans in the league this season. It'd be great to reward them with at least a point, if not all three.
Yeah, no, we always travel well, so that's very much appreciated. So that's hopefully we can repay them with 3 points on Saturday in a good game of football.
Just finally from me, I know you've had sort of injury concern. How are you physically? 100%?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, feeling good, so I can't wait for Saturday.
Well, you'll be able to watch the match action at Kent Online. We'll have reaction to the result in bulletins on KMFM on Sunday and further reaction in Monday's podcast. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos are back in action in South Division 1, and it's back-to-back away games. They travel to take on Cardiff Fire before facing Swindon Wildcats 2 on Sunday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget to check out, whilst you're on the site today, the latest review from our secret drinker. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.